What I'm going to talk about is something that probably you already heard about this morning by Terence Fige, and in the past few days by Ed and Dieter for the person that were here the previous 2 weeks. So essentially, I'm going to talk about next leading order QCD correction to W and Z production seen as a background for Higgs in vector boson fusion. So I will introduce a little Higgs in weak in vector boson fusion, and I will talk of Higgs production in gluon fusion too, just because I want to make a couple of comparisons. So you all know about the four main mechanisms of Higgs production at the VLAC: gluon fusion, weak boson fusion, Higgs slalom, TT bar H, in order of importance, meaning that if we start plotting the total cross section, we know. Ah, fuck. Oops. We know. Yeah, that's. Well, I get. Sweet, that's nothing new, you know that. So. Well, okay, this is almost an order of magnitude. Gluon fusion is an order of magnitude higher than weak boson fusion, that is an order of magnitude, it's a little higher, bigger than two or three times, or actually depends from the mass of the Higgs, but they say from the mass of the Higgs less than 300, is bigger than all the other production mechanisms. But as you know very well, talking about the total cross section is not a whole story, because you want to see the Higgs. So even if this is the total cross section, you want to detect the Higgs, and the Higgs obviously decay with something. So you have to trigger on the something that decays. So, for example, you know very well that Higgs in BB bar has a branching ratio that is very, very high in the Higgs mass region between 100 and 150. But we all know very well that you're not going to trigger on the couple of the two Bs that come from the Higgs, because it's going to be completely overwhelmed by the QCD production BB bar. So production is okay, must be big. You have to find a way to produce the Higgs, but you have to trigger on something. So you have to be careful and choose what you want to trigger on. And obviously, try to kill all the processes that are background for that process. So, discovery is surely very, very important, okay? But again, discovery is not the whole story. It's not the whole story because you want to be sure, you want to say what kind of Higgs you have seen. Is the Higgs of a standard model? Is the Higgs of any extension of a standard model? So you want to you want to measure mass, gauge, U-cover, self-coupling, charge, color, spin, CP property, all this kind of property, okay? And here is where weak boson fusion plays an important role, because in weak boson fusion is of central importance for the precise measurement of the coupling of the Higgs with respect to the 2W and the Z. Go ahead. Sure. Thanks a lot. Thank you very much. So this is an important point, and these two vertices are an important point to check the mechanism of symmetry breaking, because these vertex are there just because the mechanism is these two vertex come from the vacuum expectation value. Instead, if you have scalar fields, doublet of scalar fields, you will be able only to create these kind of vertices. So let's say two Higgs and a W, two Higgs and two W. So you won't have this kind of vertex. So testing these kind of vertices and testing the values in the standard model is a check, or at least a consistency check of the mechanism of the symmetry breaking too. So as I was saying, you want to produce the Higgs, but you want to see that, okay? So we are talking about Higgs produced in weak boson fusion. Now, how should the Higgs decay in order to be seen? These are the three main modes that have been studied, and the people have shown that you can see the Higgs in weak boson fusion, okay? you can reach statistical accuracy of the order of the 10%. Here again, the same picture with some plot. So you have the Higgs produced in weak boson fusion. Higgs that decays into W, if the Higgs is larger than 120 GeV, it's an important channel. Higgs in tau tau, if Higgs is less than 140, and Higgs in gamma gamma, if Higgs is less than 150. Mangano and company have studied Higgs in BB bar, so I put it here, but actually this process is a little, you know, let's say too optimistic, because they were asking for something like 600 in first femtobar, so probably it's going to be 2020, yeah, probably, and with some high efficiency of the B that, you know, now it's not achievable, maybe in future it will be, but I put it here because they try to show that this is a channel where weak boson fusion in where Higgs production in weak boson fusion can be seen. You've seen that many, many times, and my point is the following. I said before that vector boson fusion, Higgs production, vector boson fusion is a key point to study the vertex of the Higgs with the two W's, but it turned out that it's a key point to discover the Higgs too, because in this plot by Atlas, done with 13 inverse femtobar, no K factor, don't blame me. So these curves shift, move. They're not the final, you know, the end of the story. But here is the mass of the Higgs. This is the line of the 5 sigma discovery. So Higgs in gamma gamma, you see, doesn't reach the 5 sigma, what you claim for a discovery, but Higgs in tau tau in vector boson fusion, you see there is a windows here where it's above the 5 sigma discovery. So this process become a channel for the discovery. This is what I said. Who said that? Who was talking? Ah, yes, the this is what I'm saying. K factor change, this kind of stuff, shift, curve shift in time, and not because the coupling constant are changing. So this plot is true, or it was true. Pardon? Yes, the yellow probably is going up of square root of 2, and things change, okay? They will, I'm sure they will produce some plot with the K factors. But, and as I was saying, QQ bar Higgs in X in WW, you see that if the mass of Higgs is higher than 120, you see that the curve become a discovery channel too. And Terence shown this picture today. The previous picture was an experimentalist picture. This is instead of a picture done by theoretician, so it's a lot more messy. So this is the mass of the Higgs in terms of the statistical errors that you can reach in the measuring the total cross section. Okay, in solid, all the curves in solid are for Higgs production through gluon fusion. The dashed curve are for Higgs production in weak boson fusion, and the dot one are TT bar Higgs. So I'm interested in the dashed curve. Most of these curves are done with 200 inverse femtobar. A few of them are done with 300 inverse femtobar. Don't ask me why. I know that only two of them are done with 300, but this is not the important point now. The important point to take away from this picture is just that weak boson fusion, Higgs production with Higgs that decay in a couple of W, it's, you can reach the accuracy, the statistical accuracy of less than 10%, okay? And the same you can say for Higgs in tau tau. So, and there are a lot going on between the 10 and the 20% level of accuracy, okay? So this is the message of this picture. This is the statistical accuracy. Obviously, there are some systematic errors too, error uncertainties on the PDF. Okay, I would say 5% for weak boson fusion, where you have the contribution that dominates comes from gluon. But obviously, when you go for gluon fusion, you have gluon in the initial state, so you have more the error is bigger, so something like 20%, at least now, okay? I'm talking about the situation today. The situation can change in the next few years, okay? And obviously, there are uncertainty due to measuring the luminosity of the machine too, okay? So, just very, very quickly going through vector boson fusion and gluon fusion, just because I want to introduce something that you know very, very, very well, and just to justify the weak boson fusion cuts, what are called the weak boson fusion cuts. These two mechanisms, they look quite different. It seems that they look quite different. Here you have a Higgs, you have two jets in the final state. Here you have only the Higgs, and the rest goes along the pipe beam. So why bother? They are so different. Unfortunately, they are not so different, because if you start attaching radiation to these diagrams, you end up having diagrams that have the same structure of the weak boson fusion. So if you attach some radiation to the gluon fusion mechanism of Higgs production, you end up with the same final state as weak boson fusion, okay? So the point is just that I stress that I want to identify contribution coming from these kind of diagrams, and I don't want this. This is a channel for the discovery. Fine, okay? If for the discovery, I want these diagrams. But if I want to study the coupling, this coupling, I want to identify the Higgs that comes from these kind of diagrams and try to kill as much as possible a contribution that comes from these kind of diagrams, okay? So these kind of diagrams will be my background now, okay? It's not for the discovery, it's just if I want only the diagram with this vertex. So that the diagram that I showed before is just one. Actually, it was the simplest one of a bunch of diagrams. All of them are the same order, and all of them have Higgs plus the jet in the final state. So there are pentagons, with boxes. There are quite a few diagrams. You know, we have to show it. We've done a tough job, so I have to show some loop diagrams. And I forgot to put some two loop diagrams around since they are fancy today. So next time I will put. Applied cuts, two kind of cuts. There is an inclusive type of cuts that are just dictated from the performance of the detector. Okay, so you ask for jet that have energy bigger, transverse energy bigger than 20 GeV, and with rapidity less than 5. Okay, and with some kind of separation. This is the usual azimuthal rapidity separation. But there are another kind of jet, and I will justify them in the next two slides. The other kind of jet of cuts are called weak boson fusion cuts, and the reason, obviously, is going to be because they will kill the background, meaning the Higgs produced by gluon fusion, and they will. And these kind of cuts ask for jets separated at least of 4 units in rapidity, ask for jets in different hemisphere, and ask for big invariant diject mass. The reason for that is clear from these two plots. These are two differential plots. On the left-hand side, you see the mass of invariant diject mass, okay? The mass of invariant diject couple. And the black curve is the curve coming from gluon fusion. The red curve is the curve coming from weak boson fusion. This is a logarithmic scale, so this peak is really huge, okay? This is a huge peak. What does it tell us? Well, it tells us that the jet coming from QCD, the jet coming from gluon fusion, tend to have a very, very small invariant diject mass. And obviously, we all know very well that jet in QCD tend to be soft, okay? So if one is soft, the sum with the other one is going to be small. So the peak is here, tend to go towards soft event in QCD. Instead, it's not the same for the two jet coming from the weak boson fusion. Let's take a look at the difference of the rapidity of the two jet. Again, we see something that discriminates between the two. In gluon fusion, the two jet that comes from gluon fusion tend to have very, very small separation in rapidity. Instead, the two jet coming from weak boson fusion tend to have a rapidity around 4, centered around this value. So what do you do to try, if you want to kill contribution coming from gluon fusion? You put the cuts. Where do you put the cuts? Well, you start to put in the cuts in here, and you ask, and you say, I want an invariant eject mass bigger than 600 GeV. So you cut completely T speak here. And you say, well, I want the separation between the jet bigger than 4 or 4.2 or 4.3 or 4.5, you know, some point around here. So you cut all this contribution. And when you do that, this is what you get. So the situation is the other way around. Now, weak boson fusion dominates with respect to gluon fusion in both the two cases. So with these cuts, you can kill the diagrams that have produced the Higgs from gluon fusion, and you can just have only the diagrams that comes from weak boson fusion. Having justified these cuts, okay, this is one small point I want to talk about. In this plot, there is the differential this cross section in terms of the angle of the azimuthal angle between the two jets. As already has been said today by Terence, weak boson fusion is very, very flat. It's this red curve. Instead, due to this kind of coupling of the Higgs with the two gluons, you can write the loop vertex in this form. The form of the coupling coming from the form of the distribution coming from gluon fusion has this form. So this is another way where you can, for example, discriminate or try to get some information about the CP property of the Higgs, okay? So you just study the azimuthal dependence of the two jets. And here, my main point is just that, remember, I want to identify the two jets. Up to now, we just talk about Higgs plus two jets, so there's nothing else. But in the next few slides, I'm gonna add QCD radiation to that. So we're gonna have three final jets. So try to identify exactly the two jets that come from the quark is going to be a main issue. Otherwise, we're going to have a completely wrong picture if you try to do, for example, this kind of measurement, okay? And here is, so I talk about gluon fusion, Higgs production in gluon fusion as a background as of Higgs production in weak boson fusion. But obviously, as I said, Higgs is not what you're going to measure. You're going to measure the product of the decay of the Higgs. So Higgs that goes in tau tau, for example, Higgs that goes in WW. And there are other mechanisms that have the same final state. For example, consider the production. I call that W and Z production, meaning that the W will decay in a lepton and a neutrino, and the Z will decay in a couple of two leptons. Okay? These two objects can be an important background for weak boson fusion. In fact, think about TT bar JJ. So the Z plus two jet and the Z that decays in a couple of two taus, it's a background for Higgs that goes in tau to tau. It's a background of Higgs that goes in WW and the W decay in taus and the taus again decay leptonically. W that decays in lepton and neutrino plus two jet if you unidentify the charged lepton, you miss the charged lepton, so this is going to look like two jet plus missing energy. So it's going to be, for example, two jet and a Z. So this kind of process can form a background for invisible X decay. That's why you want to investigate these kind of processes. So, okay, as I was saying, these are the diagrams that at three level produce two jet plus two lepton. I will address that as weak boson fusion diagram, even if only this one is a weak boson fusion diagram, the others are not. Actually, there are diagrams that don't go through a weak boson fusion in the S channel by decaying in something. So we really have computed these kind of diagrams, even this one, where there is no W in the S channel, so that we have the entire control over the spin and the spin correlation of the final on the final leptons, okay? We have disregard, okay, we'll talk, let's say first, why to compute next to leading order correction to these diagrams? Well, there are two main points. Mainly as a calibration processes, producing W and Z, we know very, very well what's going on, okay? We attach some radiation. The pattern of radiation is exactly the same than the pattern of radiation of Higgs in weak boson fusion. Meaning, two jets, two quark line, a white object exchanging the T channel, and nothing else. So the pattern of radiation soft radiation at large angle should be the same. Okay, so studying the pattern of radiation of Z production and W production is going to give you some hints on the pattern of radiation of Higgs production. Okay, because here the point is studying the gap survival probability, because here the main point is just that if I ask for zero activity in the central jet of the detector, can I succeed in enhancing the contribution coming from weak boson fusion and killing all the other contributions? So you want to investigate this kind of problems. This is sort of a minor point, but we haven't included a few diagrams. We haven't included diagrams where both the two vectors are time-like and interference, in fact, where there are identical final state. This is because we plan to use, as we have done, these diagrams with vector boson fusion cuts. And with vector boson fusion cut, you ask for large diejet invariant mass of the two jet, large rapidity. So if you have a Z that decays into jet, they are going to be completely killed by asking our weak boson fusion cuts. Okay? In fact, we checked that the leading order, these diagrams that we have not included are just a 3 per mil with respect of what we have included. Having said that, these are just a few diagrams that contribution, few real radiation diagrams. As I will say, we have not included this contribution, okay, because again, this couple here will be completely cut by weak boson fusion cuts, but these are the kind of diagrams that we have included, obviously plus all the visual corrections. Last point before going to a few pictures, tagging jet. We have 2 quark plus some kind of radiation. So we have 3 final state partons. They go through first a KT algorithm to combine the parton. Okay? So out of from the KT algorithm, you can have 1, 2, or 3 final state jet at that point. Okay? If you have 3 final state jet, what do you call the 2 tagging jets? What are the 2 tagging jets that you think come from they are the 2 quarks? 2 methods. Or you choose the 2 jets that have the highest PT or the 2 jets that has the highest energy. It turned out that if you choose the 2 jets that has the highest PT, the QCD correction are a lot smaller, okay? And Terence has shown today in a plot that if you use the PT method, the QCD correction for the total Higgs production are 3 or 4, 5, between 3 and 5% higher, the next leading order with respect to the leading order, with the E method is higher. And the reason is just that the E method try to misidentify, pick up one of the gluon as and pick up one of the gluons that has higher energy with respect to the quark, so sort of misidentify one of the jet. So the point is just that using the PT method is the safe method to be used, okay? Both because the QCD correction are smaller, so you have under control the entire process, and both because picking up the jet with the highest energy, you misidentify the jet, you end up picking up some of the time, the gluon, okay? Again, the cuts are exactly the cut as I said before. I'm going to apply the same cuts of vector boson fusion, so separation between the 2 jets, as in usual separation, the PT of the jet visible in the detector, okay? Obviously, the Z and the W decay, so the 2 lepton has to be in the central jet of the detector, so that where the 2 lepton can be seen. And here are a few plots that show you how stable is W minus, W plus, and Z production with respect to the QCD correction. This is the total cross section with the cuts, as a function of the parameter Xi, where Xi is used to vary the factorization and renormalization scale. In all the 3 diagrams, this is 15%, okay? 15%. In all the 3 diagrams, this is the dependence from the factorization scale of the leading order diagrams. And here, we have the dependence from the factorization and renormalization scale as we change them in different ways. But the message to take home from here is just that these corrections are very, very small, of the order of 1-2%, okay? So the entire result is very, very stable to QCD correction. QCD correction are small. PDF uncertainty, well, good and bad news. I've done this run with 30 PDF and the 41 from CTEC 6. You see that for W, let's check W minus case, for example, MRST, we have a 2.7% error, CTEC 4%. I don't know how to interpret the fact that the two are different, because the difference between the two give a 3.5%. And actually, I've been very, very conservative. I'm not using what they say in the paper because, well, I disagree with something. So there's something that doesn't, okay. I've been very conservative, so I've taken the maximum of the error every time I sum the error, okay? Every time I take the highest, the plus eigen value, minus and the minus eigen value, I took the maximum of the two, so I've been very conservative. So the two results have a difference between the two sets, and this is the error that comes from the set. Obviously, again, very, very small error, okay? So even if there is this kind of problems with the two set, they are very, very small error. Total cross-section, PDF, just a couple of distribution, and I'm gonna say goodbye to you. I'm gonna show you, for example, one of the distribution here for is the differential cross-section in terms of the maximum of the PT of the transverse momentum of the two jets, okay? So leading order curve in red, black curve is the next leading order result. You see that if I take the ratio between the two, I've got this kind of curve. They are obtaining with using different kind of scale, but whatever is the scale, you see that the variation is of the order of 20%. So there is a very, very small variation with respect to the next leading order, with respect to the leading order. Instead, if you change this, the ratio between choosing different scale, for example, choosing the mass, the fixed mass of the W, or change some kind of dynamical scale, it's here the ratio. And you see that the ratio is always constant. So whatever is the scale, the result of the next leading order is very, very constant. And this is the good news that that you want. This is an example, and I'm going to give you another one, of some angular separation. This is rapidity between the tagging jet and the lepton. This is the minimum separation between the tagging jet and the lepton. Again, leading order and next leading order, these are the ratio between the two, okay? So quite well behaved, of the order of 10%. If you choose the next leading order with arbitrary scale, okay, the ratio is very, very constant, so everything is well defined. Everything is well defined if I'm plotting objects that have to do with the tagging jet. If I do the same game with any jet, I'm gonna screw up completely, and I'm gonna show you something like that. This is, again, this was the distance between the two in the rapidity plane. This is again another difference in the rapidity and azimuthal plane. But this time, what is plotted here is the minimum difference between the lepton and any of the jet that pass the KT algorithm. Okay, so the final state went through the KT algorithm to go from the parton level to the jet level. Okay, so the point is just that if I don't decide which of the three jets is the tagging jet, and I pick up any of the jet that I have, you see that the leading order and the next leading order can be very, very different. And here is the ratio between the two, and you see that the K factor is very, very big, okay? So it reaches something like 40%. So you have to be very, very careful of what you're using when you do this kind of plot, okay? And this is my last slide before the transparency. For example, if you plot the minimal diejet invariant mass, okay, and if you plot instead the invariant mass of the two tagging jet, here you see that the leading order and the next leading order correction are very, very similar. If you do that, just picking one of the minimum of invariant mass from the jet that you can see after you apply the KT algorithm, you see that you can have very, very completely different result. So be careful, because here obviously the QCD correction are big, but are big because you apply something to something that you cannot trust this result in this case, because the QCD correction are big, so you should go to next leading order. So if you want to have very, very small correction, be sure to apply your distribution to tagging, to the tagging jet. So finally, the main point is obviously to detect, to try to extract all the, to single out the diagrams that come from weak boson fusion, okay? The main goal is just because you want to measure the coupling of the gauge boson with the two weak boson, to the boson fusion, okay? This coupling, it's fixed in the standard model, so it's very, very constrained, they are constrained, so they're very, it's a very stringent check. You can extract this measurement, as I show you, with an accuracy of the level of 10%. Reaching this accuracy means that you have to know both the signal and the background at the same level. So that's why this calculation has been done, and that's why, and what I've shown is just that this, at least for this process, the QCD correction are very small. Thank you very much.
Question?
Michael.
What do you estimate is the background to an invisibly decaying Z? How small an invisible width can you see?
That I don't know. It depends on many things. It depends on the model. It depends on which model you're using, what, you know. It's, I cannot answer your question. It's too model dependent, I guess. So,
okay, I've got a question you can answer. I think you said something about the possibility of using Higgs production by this mechanism, weak vector boson fusion, but looking for the Higgs boson with a rapidity gap around it.
Yeah.
And then you didn't say anything more about it or show any graphs. Do you recommend that as a way to look for the Higgs boson, and do you have results for it?
Yes, I've shown all the plots that I've shown have the rapidity gap.
I mean, well, it's but with real hadrons in it.
Sorry. No, wait. All the plots that I've shown have not that, okay? To do that, you have to go through, that's why we're working to put these kind of processes into Monte Carlo and do the simulation in a Monte Carlo. But the plan is to do that and to check how efficient is the rapidity gap.
One more question. Okay, let's thank Carlo again.